Matthew chapter 15 tonight. It's good to be in the Lord's house. And it is wonderful to have all of you here with us tonight. Especially always, we're thankful for our guests. Tonight we're going to see the Lord coming up against the Pharisees and Sadducees again. It seems that no matter where the Lord goes, the multitudes come. And then the Pharisees and the Sadducees come. No matter where he goes, the multitudes, the crowds looking for healing, looking for food, they'll come to find Jesus. And then wherever the multitudes go following Jesus, the Pharisees and the Sadducees are sure to follow and try to cause problems. And so they're always coming, always trying to tempt him, always trying to find fault with him, and always blind to the truth that's right in front of their eyes. And it's a sad thing. And before we get into the text tonight, I just want to encourage you, because I think that one of the greatest dangers for the members of Calvary Missionary Baptist Church is to be like the Pharisees. I think it's easy for us to sit back and say, well, we've got the truth and we know the truth, and to miss some of the things that God puts right in front of our eyes, to know the Lord Jesus Christ and to be obedient to his commandments and to follow him and love him with a pure heart. I think if we're not careful, we can fall into the trap of the Pharisees and we can be like them. And tonight, I hope that'll be a challenge to all of us, that we're careful, that we see what's right in front of us in the scriptures and we don't miss those plain truths about who Jesus is and what he's called us to do. So let's stand together if you're able. Matthew chapter 15, we're going to begin reading at verse 39. Matthew 15. In verse 39, we'll go on into chapter 16, but we want to pick up where we left off. So we just found out that Jesus fed 4,000 men plus the women and children. And in verse 39, it says, and he sent away the multitude and took ship and came into the coast of Magdala. In chapter 16 and verse 1 says, the Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempting desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, when it is evening, ye say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times? Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your love and your mercy. I pray that you would open our hearts and minds to understand your word tonight, that we would see clearly the signs of the times. Lord, that we wouldn't seek anything outside of your revealed word. And as you teach us by your spirit, we would understand your truths and live by them. Please forgive our sins and help us, Lord, that we can plainly understand and discern the truths of your word and that we would obey the commandments as you've given them to us. Thank you so much for Jesus who died for us and rose again. Please open our hearts tonight and help me, for I'm nothing without you. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. So as he fed the 4,000 plus the women and children, Jesus sent them away, and then he took ship and came into the coast of Magdala. And we go on into chapter 16, the Bible says, the Pharisees also with the Sadducees came, and tempting desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. And this is the last time that we'll plainly see the Pharisees and Sadducees together making accusation against the Lord, but they come tempting him. They began in Mark 8 and verse 11. Mark's account, he says, the Pharisees came forth and began questioning with him, seeking of a sign from heaven, tempting him. And so these Pharisees and Sadducees were not satisfied with the signs that the Lord had given. And I want you to notice how this ties in with what we learned about this morning in the message, that the Lord had offered through the prophet Isaiah, and we studied that in Isaiah chapter 7 this morning. He told King Ahaz, ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God, ask it either in the depth or in the height above. And you remember Ahaz, he mocked that he pretended to be humble, and he said, oh no, I won't do that. But he was mocking, his heart wasn't right before the Lord. And so he was offered a sign. He said, I don't want a sign. But he was given a sign that Messiah would come, would be born of a virgin, that he would be Emmanuel, God with us. And I want you to get this, because the Pharisees are coming to ask a sign of the sign. He is the sign. He is the fulfillment. He is everything. He is Emmanuel, God with us. And he had demonstrated that by everything that he had done. And everything that happened before he was of age. Everything that happened before his earthly ministry. I mean, friends, we understand from the Word of God that Jesus Christ was born exactly where God said he would be born. And we could just look at where he was born and what happened in his young years and see that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, the house of David. And yet he would be called forth out of Egypt. And we know how Herod in his madness murdered all the children from 2 years and younger, and how Joseph took Mary and Jesus and fled into Egypt and stayed there until a time when those who sought his life were gone. And then he was called out of Egypt, just like the Word of God said. We see these different prophecies fulfilled. And then he moved and was raised in Nazareth, and he would be a Nazarene. And all of these things, all of these things fulfilled it. So even in his birth and his early life, he demonstrated that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then we look at his earthly ministry when he comes and when he begins miracles. We're here in Matthew chapter 15. And when we study, as we've tried to study chronologically, I want you to think, just listen to the things that Jesus has already done. He turned the water into wine at the marriage of Cana. He healed the nobleman's son. He cast out demons out of the unclean. He healed Peter's mother-in-law. And he brought forth the multitudes of fishes when they could catch none on their own. He healed the leprous man and the palsied man and the impotent man and the man with the withered hand. He healed the centurion's servant, and he raised the widow's son from the dead. He cast out those who were demon-possessed. He stilled the tempest, the winds, and the waves obeyed his voice. The two demoniacs of Gadara were healed. The diseased woman had the issue of blood taken away. Jairus' daughter was raised from the dead. Two blind men were given their sight. More devils were cast out. He fed over 5,000 once with just those few little loaves and fishes. He walked on the water. He healed the Syrophoenician's daughter. We just learned a couple of weeks ago about the dumb and the deaf man who was healed. His ears and his mouth were open, and he fed over 4,000 plus the women and children. He's already done all of these signs. And they come to him and say, "Give us a sign." I just don't know what more they want. You see, the reality is, dear friend, they wanted something that he was unwilling to give. He said, "I'm not giving you the kind of sign that you want." He's very much, these Pharisees, in all of their supposed faith in God, they remind me so much of our atheists that are in our world today. I was listening to a debate between some creation scientists and some evolutionary atheists, and they asked them point blank, what would it take? And they said, well, if God would just write a sign on the moon, that just, if you could just look up at the moon tonight and it said, "I'm God, I'm real," and then I would believe. But as they begin to question them about it, they said, well, after some investigation, I would believe. Like, if God just wrote on the moon tonight, "I'm God, I'm real," they would have to send somebody to the moon to inspect it, to check it out, and make sure it wasn't someone else who did it. In other words, it doesn't matter what kind of sign you give an unbelieving person. Though Jesus stands right in front of them, they will not believe. Though they see the miracles done, and you'll notice, friends, we've already studied how the Pharisees didn't question the miracles that Jesus did. They questioned by what power he did them. And it doesn't matter. They had a heart that was against the Lord Jesus Christ, and no matter what they saw, no matter what sign he showed, they would not believe. They had unbelieving hearts, and he said, "I'm not going to give you a sign." We already heard something very similar back in Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, verses 38, 39, and 40. Then certain of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, "Master, we would see a sign from thee." But he answered and said unto them, "An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." I'm not going to give you the kind of sign you want, but I'll give you this sign. I'm going to give you the sign of the prophet Jonah. So we see tonight the desire of the Sadducees and Pharisees. The Sadducees and Pharisees' desire was that he would show them a sign from heaven. They said, show us a sign in the heavens. Do something miraculous in the sky. Do something that we'll know without a doubt that you're from God. Just show us something up there. In Hezekiah's day, the sun went backward 10 degrees. And we read about these miraculous things that happened in the Old Testament. I suppose that's what they were after. We want to see something like that. And he said, you're not going to get that. You're not going to get that. His rebuke to them in verse 2, he answered and said unto them, when it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times? Red sky at morning, sailor take warning. Red sky at night, sailor's delight. Anybody ever heard something like that? Everybody says it just a little different, but I've heard that my whole life, and it was so funny. I've got a distant relative lady that's on Facebook, and she had put that on there the other day and wanted to know where it came from. So I sent her these verses from the Bible. I don't know where everybody else got it from, but I know where I get it from. Jesus says you can look. You can look into the sky. And when it's evening and it's red at night, you look at the sunset and you look off to the east and it's red because the clouds are over there. You say, oh, we're going to have good weather tonight. But when it's in the morning and you see that same kind of sky and it's red with the sun's coming up, you say, oh, no, that's trouble. And that's what they looked at when they looked at the sky. And he says, you can look at the face of the sky, but you can't discern the signs of the times. You have an idea when you look outside, you say, man, it's going to rain here in a little bit. Well, we're going to have bad weather tomorrow. I learned when I was younger, I don't even remember who told me now, my aunt, my uncle, my grandpa, I don't even remember now who it was. But I remember them telling me that you go out and you see those high, wispy clouds. We used to call them horsetail clouds. You know what I'm talking about? Nobody, like a bunch of deer in the headlights right now. They're called cirrus clouds, right? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Those high, wispy clouds, you see those up in the sky, and you know that a weather system's going to be here within a couple of days. I remember being told that, and I've always looked at it. When I see them now, I'm like, oh, we're going to have some weather here in a couple of days. I usually forget by the couple of days, so I don't know if it's true or not. But Jesus said you can look at the sky. You can see things that are going to happen based on the sky, and you don't understand the signs of the times. The signs of the time in Jesus' day were the fulfillment of the prophecies. When Messiah comes, Isaiah said, when he comes, the blind will be made to see and the deaf to hear. The lame will walk. Listen, Jesus had come and he had done all these things. Thousands upon thousands had healing. And he came preaching the gospel, the good news of the kingdom of God. And they ignored the signs of the times that were right in front of them. The prophecy is being fulfilled right in front of your eyes. Don't you see what's happening? I wonder how guilty we are of the same thing today. I tell you what, I missed one day reading the news last week. One day I didn't get on and read the news, and a pastor friend calls me up and says, hey man, you think we're going to have some Ezekiel 38 and 39 stuff going on? And I said, I have no idea what you're talking about. The day that Trump signed and signed to declare we're going to move the embassy to Jerusalem, I missed the news that day. You know what happens when you miss the news one day? You miss big things. You don't understand prophetically, this is huge. Prophetically, for Israel to be established in Jerusalem, this is going to have to happen for certain things to happen that we learn about in prophecy. And I'm just telling you, there are signs of the times. The Bible tells us in the last days, perilous times are going to come. You know, one of the most prolific, the greatest prophecies about the end times is men will be lovers of their own selves. Covetous, boasters, proud, disobedient to parents. Did you know that disobedient children is a sign of the times? I was talking to one of the men in our church just this evening and talking about how different it is today. He said, you know, some of these kids, they come on Wednesday night on the bus and you get onto them, they get upset, they get their feelings hurt, they get mad. He said, but I was raised in a different time. People acted different then. They respected authority. And when somebody said, don't do that, they just didn't do it. And they didn't get their feelings hurt over it. You just did what adults said to do. We are seeing those things. And beyond that, we hear of wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes in diverse places. And I'm just trying to tell you, those Pharisees missed the signs of the times that were right in front of their face, and they missed it. And we need to be careful that we don't miss it. So what do we do? What are you saying, preacher? The end of the world's coming. It's Armageddon's at the doorstep, and the end of the age is coming. Well, we've been in the last days since Jesus was born. These are the last days. We sometimes you read that stuff in your Bible, you read the last days, you go, oh, it's been the last days for 2,000 years. That's right. The last days has been since Messiah came. Since Jesus was born in Bethlehem, that started the last days. We're still here. And the only reason we're still here is because God is long-suffering. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's why we're here. Because he's merciful and gracious and he's long-suffering. But I'm going to tell you, friends, there's a limit. And we see the signs of the times coming. The end draws nigh. The night cometh when no man can work. And friends, it's time for us to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first began. And we need to wake up and get busy for the Lord Jesus Christ. I just wonder. Can you stay with me just for a few more minutes? I just wonder how many people, if the rapture happens tonight, how many people we're going to leave here that have been unprayed for? How many people are we going to leave here that have been unwitnessed to? How many people are we going to leave behind that we never preached the gospel to? How many of our family members, friends, neighbors, coworkers, classmates that we think, well, I'll talk to them some other time? Friends, the signs of the time tell us that we may not have some other time. The signs of the times told the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the Messiah is here, he's right in front of you, and you're trying to tempt him. You're trying to trip him up. You're trying to find some accusation against him. You're missing it. And I'm afraid one day we'll kneel before the Lord in judgment, and he's going to say, Isaac, you missed it. I gave it to you in my word. You saw those things. I had them right in front of your face, and you missed it. I don't know about you, but I don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss the signs. I don't miss the truth. I don't want to miss what he's called me to do. I want to see it. I want to obey it. And that's what I want you to see tonight, friends. We've got to understand. We've got to discern. We've got to see these things. People today still are looking for some kind of sign in heaven. They say, I prayed a prayer and God didn't answer. And they're looking for all these different things. And all the while, the answers are right here. He's given us his written word, and he's not going to give you something else. If this isn't enough for you, if the law and the prophets and the New Testament, if this isn't enough for you, there's nothing for you. This is it. He's given us his very word. And if you can't stand on this truth and understand this truth and believe this truth, there's nothing else out there for you. Verse 4. A wicked and an adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. And there shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonah. And he left them and departed. The multitudes came to Jesus, and they stayed with him for 3 days without eating. He wouldn't send them away empty, so he miraculously fed 4,000 men, plus the women and children. He fed all of them. They had stayed with him for those days, listening, being healed by him, listening to him preach and teach, and then he sent them away full. The Pharisees and the Sadducees come with this desire for a sign. Give us a sign. But their purpose was to tempt the Lord. And he says, I'm not giving you the kind of sign you want. The only sign you're going to get is the sign of the prophet Jonah. He doesn't even elaborate this time. I already told you this. The sign you're going to get is that the Son of Man will be in the earth, the heart of the earth, for 3 days and three nights. That's all you get. And I want you to get this, and I don't mean this as a joke or anything. He tells them that, and then he walks away. We see people do a mic drop these days. This is Jesus doing a mic drop. This is it. I'm done. And he walks away. And I got to be honest, there's a little bit in me that kind of likes that. Just boom, walks away. But there's another part of me that my heart is broken. That these men who should know the scripture better than anyone continually are blinded by Satan. I don't know if you understand how well the Pharisees and Sadducees understood the scripture, but from the time they were young men, they memorized books of the Bible. They knew the Old Testament better than you could ever dream to know the Bible, or more than I could, no offense to you. I'm talking about they could just sit down and start reciting entire books from the Old Testament from memory. They knew the Word of God, but they didn't know the Word of God. And what a sad, tragic situation that Jesus, the only sign you're getting is the sign of the prophet Jonah. And I want you to listen to these words. This is heartbreaking. And he left them and departed. You see, the reality is, friends, that Jesus has made himself available to any who will believe. But when someone continually rejects Christ, time after time after time after time, Maybe it's somebody in their family talks to them about the Lord, or maybe it's somebody in this church knocks on their door and gives them the gospel, or maybe it's somebody you work with or go to school with and you keep trying to witness to them, or maybe it's somebody that's sitting in the pew right now and you've sat in the pew week after week after week and God convicts your heart and you say, I need to get saved. I know I need to get saved, but then you don't get saved. I want you to know, friend, God's grace it has a limit. And if you fully and finally reject the Lord Jesus Christ, he will depart from you. These people had rejected him and rejected him and rejected him. You're saying none of those Pharisees or Sadducees ever got saved? Yeah, some of them did. And you know what? They were awful disciples. Because they were so afraid of the Pharisees. They cared more for the praise of men than they did for God. And they believed in Jesus, but they didn't let anybody know. That's not much of a disciple. I'm just telling you, it's a dangerous thing to reject the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Do you hear me tonight? Adults, young people, it is a dangerous thing to reject the conviction of the Holy Spirit and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Listen, when you feel that conviction and you know in your heart, I need to get saved, you should repent and trust Christ immediately. Brother Brian and I had the opportunity to try to share the gospel with a young man yesterday. We were out working on the trailer getting ready for the float, and this kid just walks up. He looks like he's 12 and a half. He said he's 17. I still don't believe him. It's funny, though, because 17-year-olds are all starting to look more like 12-year-olds to me. We got to try to share the gospel with him, and it seemed like he was beginning to understand, and we went through all the gospel with him. I said, when are you going to do that? When are you going to repent and trust Jesus? When are you going to get saved? And he said, well, do I have to do it now? Can I wait until sometime later? Can I do it later? Brother Brian said, today is the day of salvation. And we tried to warn that young man, you don't wait. You don't put it off. If you know you're lost, you know you need to be saved. You don't wait. You get saved now. Amen. Now is the time of salvation. Amen. So I plead with you, if you know you need to be saved, then trust Christ tonight. And for all who are saved, open your eyes to the signs of the time. Don't be blind like the Pharisees. See what's right in front of your eyes. See what's in your own life that needs to change. You know what the problem with the Pharisees was? They didn't see what was wrong with themselves. If they could have only seen their need of repentance, they could have been made right with the Lord. And if we would humble ourselves tonight and just be real with God and say, Lord, there's some things that need to change in my life. I know it. And we would humble ourselves tonight. We wouldn't be blind. And we could go with Jesus rather than having Jesus go away from us. Tonight, as we get ready for a verse of invitation, I ask you to stand with me, please.